We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. Today on Charlie Kirk Show, a massive disappointment and letdown. And I ask the question, where is the opposition party in this country? Where is the pushback? Where is the opposition party? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. This weekend was a disappointing weekend. We talked about how 9:30 was the day that the Republic will be not just decided, but whether or not we are going to decide to do something to save the Republic, a conservation of the Republic. It was a line in the sand. It was an opportunity for us to be able to say, you know what, no more. We have simultaneous crises happening. We are being invaded on the southern border. We know that. We are drowning in debt. Our interest payments alone are $900 billion. We have Jack Smith going after Donald Trump in unconstitutional ways, going after the entire opposition party. And meanwhile, as we're doing this, we have Letitia James staring down Donald Trump. We have Fannie Willis in Georgia. This last weekend was an opportunity. So let me just kind of go through all the facts. There were different camps. I'm going to divide this into three different camps because it's very confusing the way that this is being covered. The first camp were the moderate Republicans. They wanted a quote-unquote clean CR, otherwise known as a dirty CR. They just wanted an up or down vote, get it through Congress, whatever, and move on. That was the first camp. The second camp was the Chip Roy, Byron Donalds camp. They wanted to try to get some sort of a deal, an 8% cut in federal spending, get money to secure the border. They were willing to work with some moderate Republicans and bring that to the Senate, put the responsibility on the Senate. The third camp, friend of the show and friend of mine, Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and many others, said, that's not good enough. We need 12 separate appropriation bills. And we need to pass them. And if we do not pass them separately, single subject bills, then we are going to shut down the government. So those are the three main camps. Now, the moderate group, and I put that nicely, the RINOs, Uniparty, they did not want the single subject bills. That should tell you everything you need to know. Chip Roy and Byron Donalds and that Freedom Caucus group, they wanted their particular bill to try to pass it to the Senate. Now, when we had Matt Gaetz on the program and we had several other people on the program, my biggest concern was and remains, hey, what is going to happen? What is the plan if the moderate Republicans and leadership just do a deal with the Democrats? And the response was, well, they could always do that. Well, that's exactly what happened this last weekend. Instead of getting a little bit of the deal, instead of getting anything, cut in spending, border security, we got nothing. We got hosed this weekend. We got obliterated. Now, remember during the debt ceiling fight, one of the things that we were told is, hey, just wait for the appropriation fight. Just wait for the appropriation fight in the fall. That's where everything is really going to kind of come down. August was in recess recess all of August. We were said, oh, no, don't worry. The fight is coming on September 30th. And September 30th comes on that Saturday, and a punt, a 45-day, quote-unquote, clean CR. And you know who celebrates this? Chuck Schumer is celebrating this. Hakeem Jeffries is celebrating this. Nancy Pelosi is celebrating this. And now there is complete and total bedlam in the House Republican Conference. There are people that are calling for a motion to vacate for Kevin McCarthy. There are people that are saying that the next one, they're going to shut down the government, certainly and definitively. So here's one of the kind of buried leads of this entire thing that I think is very, very important, which is if we are going to be on mid-November, right before Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, if you think that these moderate Republicans are going to strengthen their position or their resolve, that they're going to grow a spine in mid-November, that's just silly. It's not going to happen. They're only going to weaken the closer and closer you get to an election. This was the opportunity. So the question is, what went wrong? Because I could go through how just inexcusably awful this is. And it is. We did this whole buildup. We had lawmaker after lawmaker after lawmaker come on the show. And they said, we're asking for this and we're doing that. And we're doing this and we're doing that. And if I were to just give some very candid feedback from even the Freedom Caucus. Yesterday, I spoke to three members of the Freedom Caucus. They're on different planets. Neptune, Saturn, Mars. No one is agreeing on anything. They're saying we have to, you know, do a motion to vacate, or we have to try to get this appropriation bill, or we have to try to get into this. And I say, guys, do you not meet? Do you not come together and talk this through? Evidently not. So even those that are there to hold the line are doing a good job of holding the line, they're not even in harmony with one another or in lockstep with one another. And so now Matt Gaetz is calling for a motion to vacate for Kevin McCarthy. Other House Republicans say that's not going to happen. So this is going to be a very, very eventful news week, to say the least. But I know how you feel because it's how I feel. I'm so sick of losing. How many times do we have to increase the debt ceiling? How we have to increase the appropriation process? Again, the Democrats hate the country. The Democrats do not want to govern the country. They're perfectly fine with the border remaining wide open. They're perfectly fine with trillions of dollars being spent. Anything that weakens America, the Democrat Party is in charge of. So you have to know that out of the outset. The Republican Party is supposed to be the opposition party. So now the next funding deadline is November 17th. So is anything going to change going before November 17th? And why did we have to do a clean, quote unquote, clean CR? Why could we have not done, well, okay, we'll fund the military. We'll fund this. Just go piece by piece, piecemeal it. Because in big CRs, that's where all the graft, the corruption, the insider dealing is hidden. That's where all the nonsense ends up being put forward legislatively. And the Uniparty is thrilled. They're like, woo, we almost had to do some tough votes on cutting spending. They don't want to cut spending. They definitely do not want to try to hold the Department of Justice accountable. They certainly do not want to question the FBI's new headquarters. And they 100% do not want to try to question border security. And some people say, well, Charlie, there was no Ukraine funding in this. Yes, but there's another deal that's going to come forward. You know, don't believe the narrative. There's going to be another deal coming forward with Ukraine funding very, very soon. Very soon. There's going to be a Ukraine funding bill coming, I guarantee it, very, very soon. The notable no votes, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Andy Biggs, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace has been surprisingly outspoken recently. Anna Paulina Luna and Byron Donalds did not vote. Donalds is on paternity leave right now, which is why he did not vote. And APL just had a baby, so she couldn't be there. I bet she would have voted no. But now there's all this aftermath. We might be without a speaker this week. The House of Representatives is going to be in complete and total bedlam. But the question I'm going to ask is, why can we not clearly articulate what success looks like? The House has been red since January. Why can no one go on TV and say, here's our non-negotiables? And in some way, so just so you know, there is a disagreement between the Matt Gaetz wing and the Chip Roy wing. The Chip Roy wing said, hey, let's try to get some piece of legislation to the Senate. Matt Gaetz, his opinion, which by the way, in principle, I'm 100% on Matt Gaetz's team. He says, why don't we just do 12 appropriations bills? So here was the difference. Chip Roy was trying to get a legislative win using the prior process. Matt Gaetz was trying to change the structure of actually how legislation was passed. And I'm right there with Matt Gaetz. I want the structure to change. But DC said, nope, we're not doing any of that. And instead of getting 1%, 5%, 50% of what we want, we got 0% of what we want. Right now, the invasion continues. There were 8,000 people, by estimates, over this weekend that went through El Paso that we know of that illegally crossed the border. And Congress says, here's your CR. It goes right forward. This is unsustainable. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. We're getting lots of emails, and I want them to continue, please. The anger is palpable. freedom@charliekirk.com, email us. This is unsustainable. You cannot have a civilization that is collapsing and have a political party LARPing, live action role-playing, as an opposition party. You can't have that. The people are not going to put up with it. They're not. They're going to have primaries. They're going to stop voting, whatever it is. When you have a civilizational crisis and you have one party that is doing the damage to the country, the Democrat Party, then you need some sort of a counter voice. That's obvious. So when the counter voice decides to not actually do the counter voice, but instead they get political power from the people just saying they're going to be the counter voice, you have a seriously unsustainable and very, very fragile set of circumstances. So you have the border completely wide open. Our spending discipline is out of control. There is no spending discipline. Trillions of dollars of deficits. We have Jack Smith, DOJ, and I'm just touching the surface of the civilizational issues that we are facing. Life expectancy going down, suicide crisis. I mean, we have stuff all across the board. The economy is garbage and trash right now. 99% of homes are deemed unaffordable to the working class and the ordinary American. So what happens is these Republicans, many of them, they will run for office saying, give me a political office in D.C., give me political power, give me the title congressman, give me an office in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to go fight against the country collapsing. It's really kind of that simple now. It's not as much of like conservative versus liberal. It's the people that are doing the destruction of the country, the American Democrat Party, and the Republicans then go to voters and they say, elect us, and we're going to stop it. That's basically the way that people think of voting right now. So they show up and they say, okay, Republicans, go and try and stop it. Please slow it down. Say no. Reform it. And outside of some oversight stuff, which has been fine, I guess, outside of some oversight stuff and subpoenas, have we cut a dollar of spending this year? Have the House Republicans changed anything? Anything? And this pains me to say. I don't like saying this because the Republican Party is the only vessel that we have right now to stop the Democrats. And honestly, the great accomplishment that the Republican Congress will be able to say is not what they got done, but at least we're not getting rid of the Electoral College and DC and Puerto Rico are not becoming states. And at least we don't have HR1. That's not a small thing, by the way. The other side is so completely unhinged and out of control. They're such a damage and a cancer. They're such a tumor to the Republic that saying like, well, at least we still have the Electoral College. Like, okay. Because that's business number one for them. They want to structurally change the country. But boy, I'll tell you, You know, I turn my phone off from Friday night to Saturday night, and I turn my phone back on Sunday. Boom, I must have had 280 text messages. People that were flipping mad. Charlie, I thought 9:30 was the whole... It is the whole deal. But they don't feel the urgency that you feel. It's not the same sort of thing. If a moderate Republican wants to preside over business as usual, then go run as a Democrat. You must think of the Republican Party as the counter-revolutionary force, because we're living through a revolution, the Cultural Revolution, brought forward by the American Democrat cabal with their uniparty friends. So you need a counterforce to that. That is what animates the grassroots activity. Asking for somebody to say, stop. No, not going to happen. The mandate that voters gave to the House Republicans when they took over the House of Representatives in January was not multi-trillion dollar deficits and the invasion of our country. It was, can you please stop it? Can you do something? Americans shifted the House of Representatives, barely, by the way, because of many different issues, from Democrat control to Republican control, largely because they didn't want this to continue unchecked. They wanted to have the House of Representatives be able to say, not going to happen. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie. There's tons of tape I want to play here. But in the midst of all this, and I'm going to get to the fire alarm thing because it's just too important not to touch on. But I'll be honest, the fire alarm thing is being talked about way too much. I'm going to do it. It's fun. It's hilarious. This guy's a moron. Either he's a moron or he's like a really, really bad person, or he's a mixture of both. But on kind of like right-wing circles, I'll be honest, the conversation has been mostly about Bowman mistaking a fire alarm for a door opener or whatever, a button that opens a door. It's like, hold on a second, time out. We're spending trillions of dollars we don't have, and we're getting invaded every single day. What? That's a hilarious story and should be talked about, but are we talking about the things that actually matter right now, like the ones that are impacting our entire civilization? And by the way, as we're diving into this legislative fight right now, the opposition party, part of the opposition party, doesn't seem that fired up that we had to do this CR. The old adage, and I've said this before, kicking the can down the road. I don't like that expression because it's just overused. It's too cliche. But that's the way DC works. It's one rolling punt to the other. And this is not an exaggeration. Since I started in this line of work 11 years ago, it has always been, well, we'll get them in 6 months, and we'll get them in 6 months, and we'll get them in 4 months, and we'll get them in 5 months, and we'll get them in 6 months, and we'll get them in 6 months, and we'll get them in 4 months, and we'll get them in 3 months, and we'll get them in 2 months. And that's not an I've hawked this now for 11 years. And when Democrats are in Congress, you have no power, right? No power. But the time Republicans have been in Congress, it's always like, oh, yeah, no, we understand it's a problem, but next, the appropriation thing, or the debt ceiling thing, or the continuing resolution. And they use these terms that I know what they mean, but the everyday working class person, God bless them, they're just being lied to by their elected officials. They don't know the difference between a CR an appropriations bill or a debt ceiling fight or a markup or an appropriate. I mean, that, this is somewhat technical. And they use that sort of murkiness to their advantage. That hyper-technical language is an advantage. I want to play some pieces of tape here. This is how you know this is just revolting. Chuck U. Schumer celebrating. Play cut six.
President. Majority leaders recognized.
I have very good news for the country. Democrats and Republicans have come to an agreement, and the government will remain open. We will have avoided a shutdown. Bipartisanship, which has been the trademark of the Senate, has prevailed, and the American people can breathe a sigh of relief.
This is last gasp Republic stuff. Like this is, they're sacking Rome and you are getting fat and happy. And the Visigoths are like 90 miles outside from taking over the entire capital. And this is cheering wildly for full funding, no border security. Just, I mean, the country is legitimately just disintegrating. It's very similar. You know, there's a deeper argument to be made here that, you know, we spent our 1970s and 1980s focusing on destroying the Soviet Union. And in reality, we became more like the Soviet Union. We imprison our political dissidents. We spy on the people that don't believe the regime. And the Soviet Union, remember, funded the Afghan war even after the country collapsed. It's like you can't stop your attachment. So now there's this whole fight over motion to vacate. Like cut 17.
That's all right if Republican and Democrats join together to do what is right. If somebody wants to make a motion against me, bring it. There has to be an adult in the room.
So that's going to be a mess. And my question is, you guys sort it out yourself. Who's going to cut spending? That's all I care about. Who's going to cut spending and stop the invasion? I mean, it's, you got Paul Gosar, a speaker. Who's going to cut speaker? Who's going to cut spending and secure the border? All this is just pageantry to me. It's all just theatrics. The country is drowning in debt. We do not have a stable currency. We're funding this proxy war in Ukraine. We are getting absolutely overrun by foreigners on the southern border. And we're yammering about motion to vacate, which very well might be important, might not be important. That's not my concern. Who's going to lead us to structural reform to save the country? Play cut 19, please.
Most of in the press probably thought we would have shut down yesterday, too. But no, we did not.
Were you confident we wouldn't shut down?
I was confident I could get something on the floor to make sure the option that we would not.
But
that
you weren't our sure military, it was going to pass.
Well, I wasn't sure it was going to pass. You want to know why? Because the Democrats tried to do everything they can not to let it pass. They did
Democrats were the ones who voted for this number than Republicans to keep the continuing resolution alive.
Did you watch the floor yesterday?
Oh, yes. Okay. 90 the Republicans voted against it.
Okay.
And then Matt Gaetz countering play cut 18.
Kevin McCarthy's going to get his wish. I don't think the adult in the room would allow America to sit atop a $33 trillion debt facing $2.2 trillion annual deficits. I don't think the adult in the room would allow $8 trillion of this debt to come into refinancing at a higher level without serious spending cuts. And I don't think the adult in the room would lie to House conservatives. And that is exactly what Kevin McCarthy did.
So we look at this across the board, and you got to ask yourself the question. What have Republicans done with the mandate? Now, Chip Roy and Byron Donalds, they're pretty fired up right now, that whole group, because they had a piece of legislation that could have passed the House. 8% cut in spending would have secured the border and would have put it on the Senate. So we got nothing. So instead of a negotiation, we got hosed. We got steamrolled. I'm in a different bucket, though, because some people are telling me, well, Charlie had to do this and punt it because it would have been a government shutdown. I don't fear a government shutdown. I don't know why everyone is so afraid of a government shutdown. It's a temporary pause. And honestly, it would have put the pressure on to get a better deal done. I think that is a fake and false threat by the bad guys. And I would have preferred a government shutdown than a 45-day delay that only makes the moderates weaker right before Christmas, right before Thanksgiving. Play one more piece of tape here. Kind of about all these different things, because Ukraine is a central part of this. So the CR that passed did not have extra Ukraine funding, but they're gonna bring it back. Joe Biden says that the House has made that commitment, to funding Zelensky's proxy war. Play cut one.
I hope my friends on the other side keep their word about support for Ukraine. They said they're going to support Ukraine in a separate vote. We cannot, under any circumstance, allow American support for Ukraine to be interrupted. I fully expect the speaker to keep his commitment to secure the passage and support needed to help Ukraine as they defend themselves against aggression and brutality. And I want to assure our American allies and the American people and the people of Ukraine that you can count on our support. We will not walk away.
Yeah, well, we'll not walk away from our proxy war in Ukraine, but we're going to walk away from the invasion happening in El Paso or the southern border. No one cares. Not even a whisper of concern. Why are the MAGA voters so upset? Now, I was talking to an establishment person this weekend. They said, you know, Charlie, outrage is not a strategy. And the people that listen to your show, they end up being, you know, pretty fired up. And I got really upset with him. I said, why do you think people are mad? He said, oh, you know, they're mad because they're told to be mad because of people like you. I said, no, give me a break. No, they're mad because there's not an opposition voice, because their values are not represented in these legislative fights. That's why people are mad. It would be one thing if the whole country was like California, and this is just performative, if they had super majorities everywhere. We control one of the chambers. We control the purse. To this date, right now, we may never control it again after nonsense like this. We control the purse. We control the House of Representatives. We control tons of state legislatures. We control tons of AGs. We control tons of governors. And yet every time it feels as if, regardless of how many election mandates we give, no matter how many pressure release valves that we pull, no matter how many times we tell Republicans, please go fight for me, please say no, please represent our values, we get the same sort of business as usual. Like, oh, we're going to do it in 45 days. And then they're just going to pass another 6-month thing. Or better yet, they'll pass like a 13-month thing. Oh, no, we're just going to, you know, go to the next Congress because it's a really important election and we can't do that. And the everyday commoner, the ordinary citizen, is looking at this and they get demoralized, disgruntled, angry, and so distrustful of all of our Washington, D.C. institutions that they just say, I'm done. Forget it. What has the Republican Party done to earn the vote of the everyday American? Nothing. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. So Jamal Bowman, during this entire thing, goes and pulls a fire alarm. So Bowman is on camera pulling this fire alarm. And he's like, oh, no, I thought I opened the door. Well, then the next obvious question, the most important question is, did you go through the door? Did you go through the door? If you thought it was to open the door, did you end up actually going through the door? And so it set off a huge alarm, which then, wouldn't you think you would go outside after you pull the fire alarm? So it's a really simple question. Did Jamal, this is, no one's asking this question. So if you wanted to open the door and you realize it couldn't, could we get a picture of the actual fire alarm? Let's release the tapes. So Jamal Bowman goes up and pulls something that says, pull in case of fire. So it's either one of two things. This guy is an insane liar, or he's so stupid he shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the United States House of Representatives. And he was a school principal. Basically, the one environment where teaching about fire alarms is pretty routine. I mean, did this guy not read, or can he not read? I'm not being dumb. I'm not being silly. I'm not being stupid. This is a guy that pushes the fire alarm. And by the way, I 100% believe that this guy did it intentionally. Why would you say that, Charlie? The stupid door, the thing to open the door. That is an unbelievable excuse. Because this is exactly the playbook that they use on college campuses. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee last year, Candace Owens and I were getting a speech. Boom, fire alarm goes off. University of California, Berkeley, 3 years ago. Boom, fire alarm goes off. I cannot tell you how many times, I could list at least 10 off the top of my head, where we were doing a campus event and some form of an interruption, a fire alarm, a fake 911 call, breaking of windows, bomb threat, you name it. While we are doing an event, for they try to stop our Turning Point USA event or whatever it is. And why did he postpone the vote? Did he want a shutdown? Was he upset that there was a CR being passed? It's very strange. Did other lawmakers know about it? Was he told to do it by Hakeem Jeffries? And his excuse is, I mean, like, we should not lay off of this guy. Now, again, I don't think this is the biggest story. The biggest story is that we got nothing out of the CR. But it's not insignificant. Let me put it that way. It has become the biggest story in right-wing circles, which I'm a little bit not thrilled about, because the biggest story is the border is still open, Jack Smith still funded, and we're borrowing trillions of dollars we don't have. Here's Jamal Bowman, former high school principal, who can't tell the difference between a button to open a door and a fire alarm. Play cut 24.
You know, I don't know why this has gotten so much attention. I was literally just in a rush to go vote, man. That's all it was.
Are you afraid of any repercussions, either from leadership or from legally from Capitol Police?
I mean, listen, I take responsibility for what I did, you know, but like I said, I was in a rush to go vote, and, you know, investigation will sort everything else out.
Wait, so if he was in a rush to go vote, why'd you need to go outside if you're in the Congress, if you're in the House? Didn't he interrupt an official government proceeding? Isn't that a threat to our democracy? Haven't people been put into gulags for such behavior? For the interruption of the beautiful process within Congress? Is Jamal Bowman going to get raided by the FBI and the Department of Justice? But if you were in a office, if you were in a rush to go vote, so it's one of two things. He either sabotaged a vote, which is insurrection, or he's extremely dumb. And there's many such cases. I'm sorry. The level of imbecility where you look at a fire alarm thing and you're like, oh, this seems like a good idea. What do you think is going to happen there? And then I just love his kind of like typical left wing. I don't know why this is such a big deal. Like, why are you like, come on. I mean, pulling fire alarms during continuing resolution votes. Like, why are you guys making such a big deal out of it? He's like one step away from calling the questioner racist. Well, why can't a black man just pull a fire alarm and get away with it? What are you, like a white supremacist? Like, what's a black guy got to do to just pull a fire alarm around here? It's like he's like 1 inch away. I mean, again, we could play the game. What if Matt Gaetz called a fire alarm? If Matt Gaetz pulled a fire alarm, he would be in the J6. He would be like with the J6 defendants. 100% would be indicted in some sort of show trial. And Jamal Bowman's kind of like, man, I can't catch a break. I was just trying to go vote and pull the fire alarm. And everyone's calling me all these names. I don't know why this is such a big story. I was in such a rush to go vote. You realize to open the door, you push the door. You push the door. You don't pull the fire alarm. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.